Steve Gershon and Marcy Schwartz, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. We're interviewing Mrs. Jean Dickman, Jean spelt with a G, G-E-N-E. And the date is April 14th, 2000. Okay. Jean, would you give me your address, please?
540 North Neville Street.
Thank you. Okay, Jean, we're going to go back a little bit so that you can tell us about your family, what city you were born in, where you lived as a youngster, and something about your parents and siblings.
I was born in 1927 in Chicago, Illinois. I lived with my parents until my mother died at the age of 7. I had 5 siblings, 3 brothers and 2 sisters, and I was the 6th. And fortunately, they were all a good bit older than I, and they took care of me when my mother died. I went to grade school. We lived near the stockyards, if that's of any interest.
Yeah, sure.
My father was a shoemaker, and he had a shoe store. And we lived on top of the store. And I don't know. It was a, you know, fortunately, as I say, a large family.
Mm-hmm. Did your parents come from Europe, or were they?
They did. They came from Russia.
From Russia, both of them.
Mm-hmm. But all the children, yes, they were married.
Okay.
And all the children were born here, though.
Okay. Can you tell me something about your experiences in school as a young child, either positive or negative?
I don't remember that they were that outstanding, frankly. When my mother died, I went to live with my oldest sister, who lived in Hyde Park, and she had just married. She was married in March. My mother died in January, and she had a ready-made family with me. She's 20 years older than I. The brothers are in between her and another sister who's 10 years older than I. And I went to school in Hyde Park. And I don't know, it was just, I don't remember anything special about
okay.
it. I didn't excel in anything, and I didn't fail in anything.
You didn't have any problems as far as being Jewish, I presume?
No, not as a child.
Okay. Okay, then on to high school, same, or is there more?
Actually, she moved to the north side of Chicago, called Albany Park, or Ravenswood, I guess it was. And
excuse
I went.
Excuse me, Hyde Park is Hyde Park.
In the south
Illinois,
side.
Not
yeah,
Hyde
not
Park,
in
New York.
New York.
Okay.
No, this is all Chicago.
Okay.
Ravenswood,
all one name. It was just, like Squirrel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to another grade school where I met my lifelong friend, she died, unfortunately, too young. But she was my dearest friend. And her parents were much more educated than my parents. And so they were kind of my mentors, and they introduced me to art and symphony and all kinds of culture that I probably wouldn't have been exposed to otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
My own, just one brother went to college. The rest of them finished high school, and the one brother was a dentist. They're all gone now, but I have the two sisters living. Then we went to high school together, this friend, Aviva, and we were friends till we were married, and then she developed cancer and died at a very young age. But I still maintained a relationship with the mother. And the mother is 100 now and extremely alert and physically able to get around.
Wonderful.
So that was a nice experience.
I would say. Did you go on to college?
I did, yes. I went to the University of Wisconsin.
Okay.
I started at a junior college because I was one of those February graduates of high school. And I went there for a semester and a summer, and then I went to the University of Wisconsin at Madison for the rest of my college career. And I lived in the dorm. And ultimately, through a girl I had gone to school with, I met my husband.
While you were at school?
Yeah.
Oh, how nice. Mm-hmm. What was your major?
Sociology.
Sociology. Mm-hmm. And Bob was a student there?
No. Bob has not ever gone to college. But he was a salesman. He worked for an exhibit company. And his friend, Jack Goldman, had been in Pittsburgh the week before, and he had met a classmate of mine who was from Pittsburgh, Katanning actually, and asked her, he met her at a party and asked if there was anybody that he could date in Chicago while he was there for a convention. And she gave him my number, and he called, and the following week Bob was coming to Chicago, and he asked if he had any quote, hot numbers. I mean, that's his standard thing. And Jack Goldman gave him my name. And when he called, I said, what am I running, a date bureau for Pittsburgh? So he came up to school on a couple of weekends. You want to turn
that's
it off?
That's okay. We don't turn it off.
You don't? Uh-huh. You let all the bells and whistles go. Okay. Anyway, then we started dating, and it was a New Year. It was near New Year's, and he invited me to Pittsburgh for New Year's Eve. And I came, and I met his family, and we all liked each other. And then it was, he had had several trips to Chicago in the meantime, and he came to school to visit me, or he called, or I came into Chicago, you know, for a weekend. It was not that far. And that's how we courted for about a year and, I don't know, three or four months. And then we married.
That's how many years ago?
52 years 52. Ago. 1948.
With more, lots more to go.
I hope.
1938?
48.
Okay. Was your family in any way religious or observed traditional holidays?
Mm. Yeah. My father was very religious, and my mother kept a kosher home. And he actually did the morning prayers. You know, we laid tefillin, and he davened. I don't remember. I'm sure we went to some kind of services, but I don't remember actually belonging to a shul. But I know I must have gone. But none of the girls had any religious education. The boys all had bar mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. And I was never confirmed, and I really...
Well, at that
did
time,
not have a religious
a
education
girl didn't,
at all.
Didn't count.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your family was. Your father was able to support all those kids.
I guess the boys, of course, you know, went to work as soon as they were out of high school, and. My brothers helped support me, I know, although my sister's husband, I'm sure, shared in that, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So after you were married, you came to Pittsburgh.
I came to Pittsburgh. Right.
Uh-huh. One other question while you were in college. Were you active in any of the college
no.
activities?
Number one, I don't know that I would have been anyway, but it was during the war, and I think things were kind of scaled down. You know, there wasn't that much going on that I was aware of anyway.
Yeah. And in school itself?
What do you mean?
Sororities?
Sororities. Oh, they did have sororities, but I was not a sorority.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you came to Pittsburgh after you were married?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can you tell me something about that?
Well, it, again, was right after the war. It was 1948. Mm-hmm. Bob had only been out about a year and a half.
Was he in the Army?
He was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm. For how long?
I don't know. I don't know, but there
was he overseas?
3 or 4 years. He was in Panama, that part of overseas.
Okay.
And he was on a PC. Yeah. Where were we? Oh, I do know that apartments were hard to come by when we were married, and you had to pay under the table, so to speak. And we lived across from B'nai Israel on Negley Avenue in a real cute apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And there were other neighbors in the building. And it was very nice. And our first child was born there, Terry, daughter.
Did you belong to B'nai Israel?
No.
No. Okay.
But we did belong to Temple Sinai because Bob's sister was a charter member there.
I see.
So we did go there.
And your oldest daughter's name is?
Terry Ellen.
Terry Ellen.
E-L-L-Y-N. T-E-R-R-Y.
I'm sorry?
T-E-R-R-Y, and her Ellen is E-L-L-Y-N. And she was named after my mother, Esther.
Okay.
Don't ask me how I got Terry out of Esther, but I did.
And she was born on Negley Avenue.
On Negley Avenue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then?
And our next door neighbor who lived in Rebecca Manor, also on Negley, but a couple doors down, moved to Denniston. And they were our good friends, the Wertheimers, Simon and Herb Wertheimer. And soon there became a vacancy there. And she let Bob know, and we bought there in the row.
You bought a house?
A house, uh-huh.
On Denniston.
1245.
And
our kids grew up there.
Would you tell us about your other two children?
Yeah.
Okay. They were born on Denniston.
They were born on Denniston.
Okay.
Kathy, John, J-O-N. We were prepared for boys or girls, you see. And she was born, Jerry was born in 1950, Kathy was born in 1952, and Jody, also with a Y, was born in 1956.
Okay.
And it was a wonderful neighborhood. I mean, there were just lots of young couples and kids and everybody walked together, and it was very nice. I liked it a lot. I liked Pittsburgh a lot.
What makes Pittsburgh so acceptable to you as opposed to Chicago?
Chicago. It was manageable. You felt like you were a part of the community, and you didn't feel like you were anonymous. But you could be if you wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bob's sister was really responsible for my getting active in organizations. She was very active.
Was she?
Mm-hmm.
Louise
Markovsky.
Okay. Religious-wise, how did you raise your family?
Reform. From Sinai. They went to Sunday school there. They started there. And then trying to think. I know why we moved to Rota, but I don't remember when. Because all their friends in school went to Rota Shoal. Mm. And it was just nice to carpool.
Mm-hmm.
And so we switched.
Yeah. The kids confirmed?
Yeah, they were all confirmed.
Okay. Were you or Bob or both of you active at Temple at that time?
No.
Yeah.
No. We really only went on the high holidays.
Yeah. Bob went into business at that time, or?
Well, Bob was working for Gardner Displays, and about 2 years into our marriage, he left the company with a group of other men, and they started their own company. And it was called GRS&W. And Bob really had no money, but they let him kind of pay it off as he went along. You know, he just worked and paid it off. He started being an assistant to a senior salesman. And then as the salesman grew older, and it wasn't too long after they had formed the other company, he died, and Bob inherited all of his accounts, and then he ultimately became the president of the company, and I wish I knew the years, but I don't.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We have an approximate time frame.
They sold the company to a British company, and Bob stayed on with it until he was 75.
Good for him.
He was only going to stay for 5 years.
Yeah, I heard that.
And then they couldn't get him out.
He left screaming all the way.
He did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you tell me something about your social life on Denniston. You said you walked with the other ladies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did you all socialize?
We did.
Who were your good friends?
Our good friends were Diana and John Stern, who later moved to Mount Lebanon. Mm-hmm. And she's a member of NCJW, and she was very active in council care out there. Mm-hmm. Ada and Stanley Amster. And she now lives in Florida. She was a member of council too, but I don't think she was active.
Mm-hmm.
And Sima moved to Brentwood not too long after we moved there.
Mm-hmm.
But we still maintained the friendship. And there was, when Rhea and Irving moved in.
Wender. Yeah.
We were very friendly with them, and Thelma and Bayo Weiner, whom we still are friendly with. Bayo is no longer with us, but we're still friendly with Thelma. We have a lot of good friends. And of course, Bob's best man was Bob Goldman. And while we weren't friendly with him and his wife, when he divorced and remarried, we became friendlier. The boys always maintained a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was movies and dinner and a lot of entertaining at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I understand there used to be block parties
there. Yeah, on Denniston.
Sounds like fun.
It was. Yeah, it was just a nice neighborhood.
Uh-huh. And you've remained friends with these people ever since?
A lot of them, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you said your sister-in-law got you into volunteering.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about how it started and where it started?
Well, Louise had been a volunteer at NCJW, and I think at one point she worked for council, before it was Anathan House. I'm trying to think what it was called. It was on Forbes Street.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it was just the Senior Adult Program. It had a better name, I know it did. But I can't remember.
That's all right. It was for elderly people.
Yeah, yeah. Just as it remained, you know, Anathan House.
Just a social place?
Yeah, no, this was social, strictly.
Just social.
Mm-hmm. This was not the daycare part.
Like a senior citizen
center. Yeah, that's so exactly what it was.
They could play cards.
And right, right. Okay. And it was on Forbes Avenue, what had been a Blocks lingerie down below and then upstairs. And because it was upstairs, you know, you might know they had pretty able-bodied people going to it. And but I didn't get active there. I don't know. I guess I just joined, and I started going to meetings.
Was that sponsored by NCJW?
Yeah.
That senior citizen center, so to speak. Uh-huh. And you have any idea about how long that continued?
Well, if I knew when. It became, if I remembered when Anathan endowed the building, Mrs. Anathan, and it has continued, it continued till, oh, Jean, I'm so bad at dates. I really am.
No, it's okay. How long did it last? 10 years, 5 years, approximately?
Longer, about 20 years, I would think.
And that was run by council?
By council.
With volunteers?
Volunteers. And there was a, do I remember what president?
Who were volunteers in the...
Volunteers in it?
What was their role?
They had activities there. They had a cancer dressing thing, and Kate Wurtenberg was a chair of that. Henry Ellen Bogan was active in that. They had Dorothy Blumenthal, of course, was extremely active in it, and they had speakers and cards, and I bet they even had classes. They had a Russian immigrant program there. But that really wasn't run by the seniors. It was run for senior Russians.
Oh, initially.
They taught English as a second language.
Uh-huh. That far back?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They did.
So you were
I first got active in the administration part, I guess.
Of that program?
No, of just...
Council?
The council in general.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, at one point they were on the division system. They had broken up, and again, I don't know my history. I should, being an oral historian. And Bernice Freeman, who was also my neighbor on Hastings when we moved there, was the president of the Points East Division. And I think it was really she who got me active.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went back to being one section again. And I don't know. I guess I took part in a lot of it.
We're up to almost 1964. Is that correct?
That's pretty good, except as I mentioned before we started, there had been another program called, it was Council House, I think. And I know early on we had a council house for girls who came from, immigrant girls who came from Europe, and they lived in this house, you know, mm-hmm. single girls who might be prey to... prostitution if they weren't looked after. But this was a different council house, and this was for the recently discharged mental patients. It's kind of a bridge between the institution and the community. They didn't live in it.
Well,
it was a social program.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was prior to 1964.
That was prior to 1964, yeah.
Right.
And that has become the Renaissance Center, and maybe it's something else now, I don't know.
But for the same purpose?
For the same purpose, as far as I know.
Do you have any idea where it's located?
Probably downtown somewhere, because that's where it was.
And it's
probably run by the Association for Retarded Citizens. No, it wouldn't be that, because these were mental patients. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, is council still involved?
Probably county. No, council is not still involved, at least not financially. We did have a representative to it for a number of years, and her name was Norma. Help me. You don't know.
No, I don't know.
Wilner.
Wilner.
Mm-hmm.
W-I-L-N-E-R.
N-E-R. Okay. And she is, or was, if she's not retired now, a psychiatric social worker.
Mm-hmm. Well, you took sociology in school, and
yeah,
that brought
so
it
those
to
kinds
mind.
Of programs always did interest
appeal
me.
To you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever work outside of the home?
Not really. Not while I was married, certainly. And I did have a couple of summer jobs before I was married.
In social work? Or?
One was with the Independent Voters of Illinois.
Okay.
And the other was with, I think I worked at Marshall Fields for a summer in their complaint department. I could write.
Okay, very good. And I don't want to break the chain of thought at this point as to your activities as a volunteer. We're up to 1964, and I have here that you were coordinator of program and public relations at council.
I guess I was.
Do you remember very much about it?
No, and I can't even remember the president, because I mean the vice president, because each vice president had a coordinator. And
do you remember who was president then?
No.
Okay.
If I had the book in front of us, I guess I could.
Yeah. Okay. Now I have a gap between 1964 and 1968. When you became chair of the oral history program.
When was Friends Indeed? Do you have a date for that too?
I don't. What was, tell me about Friends Indeed.
No. Well, I was active in that too, but it was another program. It was the one in South Oakland. Lifestyle. That was it.
And what time program was that?
It was a program to prevent juvenile delinquents. And we had it in South Oakland. There was a fairly new center there. Phil Pappas was the director of the center. And NCJW had just gone through that. There was a research study on juvenile justice.
Mm-hmm.
And
by
NCJW. It was sponsored nationally by them, and then the various sections took part. And we did, and I remember visiting courts and listening to cases of kids.
And you were interested in that?
Yeah. And then we started this program to prevent juvenile delinquency.
Ruth Lieber
mm-hmm.
involved in that?
Ruth Lieber and Marlene House.
Yeah.
And Smalley, Joel Smalley's wife. I can't remember her first name. There was a good group of us. And I guess the success story of that was Debbie, she's at the thrift shop now. She's the manager of the thrift shop.
Okay, we can find out.
Yeah, you can get her last name.
Absolutely.
And we found jobs for these kids too, after school jobs, mm-hmm. and that was the one that Debbie had, and she ultimately became the manager.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a nice story.
Can you tell me some of the things that went on during that time, problems that you had, problems that you solved?
With the kids?
Yeah.
No, as I say, it was a juvenile delinquency prevention program.
Okay, did it prevent?
And we were wonderful at it. No, I just we really had a good time with these kids, and they just couldn't believe that we weren't paid to be there. Uh-huh. We met every week in the evening, I don't remember what night, and we would have activities with the kids. Mm-hmm. And I remember having them to my home a couple of times too, and we had parties, and the other volunteers would make things, you know, mm-hmm. bring food. And, mm-hmm. and we had a really good time with them, and we would take them to, did we or didn't we? I think we did. We would take them out, you know, for an afternoon on a Saturday, and just, I don't know, we talked to them a lot, talked to them about their future plans. I remember some of the kids vividly. One really went on, I think, are you almost at the end of your tape?
Yeah.